Last time we started talking about the Shita of the Mordechai. You know, the Gemara and the Chavav says that Mitzar is Potem in HaSukkah. The first glance, that halacha relates to the Mitzvah Yeshiva of the Gavra. Teshu came to Aduru, Basukos Teshu Shivas Yamim, a person is supposed to sit in his Sukkah, live in his Sukkah the way he lives in his home. So if it's Kain to Aduru, then he's Chaya, but if he's Mitzar, if he has pain from living in his Sukkah, so then it's not Kain to Aduru and he's Potem. Comes to Mordechai and says that this idea of Teshu Kain Taduru relates not just to Mitzvah Yeshiva, but to the Binyan HaSukkah as well. That if a person builds a Sukkah that's not Roy L'chol Tashmishim, then the Sukkah is possible completely. If it's not Roy for Shena, then it's possible even for Achila and Shasiya. If it's not Roy for Achila and Shasiya, it's possible even for Shena. Because that's part of what Teshu Kain Taduru means. That's the Chiddush of the Mordechai. But the Sukkah has to be Roy L'chol Tashmishim, just like a person would make his home in a way that's Roy L'chol Tashmishim, so too he has to make his Sukkah in a way that's Roy L'chol Tashmishim. And we mentioned the Chacham Tzvi disagreed. He said, that has nothing to do with Teshu Kain Tadur. Pasuk Basukas Teshu Shivas Yamim is not Chag HaSukkos Tas L'cha Shivas Yamim. It's not referring to the Binyan HaSukkah. It's referring to the Mitzvah Yeshiva, how a person has to sit in the Sukkah. But the Binyan HaSukkah, as long as you make a Sukkah with Defonus, with Tzchach, it's kosher, it doesn't matter that it's not Roy L'chol Tashmishim. Whatever Tashmish it's Roy for, that's what you can use the Sukkah for. And we talked about some of the rayas back and forth. One of the famous questions that they ask on the Mordechai is from the Mordechai himself. There seems to be a stira in the Mordechai. But on the one hand, the Mordechai writes beferish that Teshu Kain Taduru tells me that you have to build a Sukkah in a way that it's Roy L'chol Tashmishim. And yet the Mordechai is troubled with that age-old question, why do we find Bizman Hazeh that people are not sleeping in the Sukkah? People eat in the sukkah, we build sukkahs and we eat in the sukkah, but we don't sleep in the sukkah. Why? That's part of living in the sukkah. A person perhaps spends even more time sleeping than eating. So if we don't sleep in the sukkah, we're missing a chelek of the mitzvah. Why are we not choshesh to that chelek of the mitzvah? Comes the Mordechai in the next simen, in simen Tovshin Mem Aleph there, and he suggests as follows. You know, the Gemara says that you're not allowed to sleep outside the Sukkah. Dr. Mordechai thinks the reason why people don't sleep in the Sukkah Bizman Hazeh is because they're afraid of the cold. It's too cold. It's because it's too cold and they're potter from sleeping in the Sukkah, either because dinam kechola, kechola shein bo sakana, we know a chol is potter, or dinam kemitztair, who's part of an asuk. Interesting that the lashon of the Mordechai sounds like there's episachilik between chola and mitztair. Does that mean that the reason for the ptur of chola is different than mitztair, or they're just different levels? Chola is a super mitztair. It's not clear. I'm not sure if we can be medayik from the Mordechai anything. But one thing is clear, that the Mordechai gives a reason as to why we don't sleep in the sukkah, because it's cold. Cold. They were in climates where it was cold, it was difficult to sleep in the sukkah, to eat for a little bit. You know, they didn't have the 3, 4, 5 course meals we have. They ate quickly. They ate in 15-20 minutes. So you can eat in 15-20 minutes even if the sukkah is cold. It's not such a big tsar. But to sleep in the sukkah the whole night where it's cold, that is a big tsar. It could become a chola. You might have a dinner of a chola shembo sakana that so mitzar. So says the Mordechai, that's why we don't sleep in the sukkah. So frekta olam, you don't sleep in the sukkah. You can't sleep in the sukkah because it's cold. But the Mordechai himself said that if it's not right to sleep in the sukkah, so then the sukkah is possible even for the achil and shasiyah. He jumped from the frying pan into the fire. The Mordechai thought he was solving the problem by saying that it's too cold to sleep in the sukkah. But he created an even bigger problem, because now that he gives a reason for why people don't sleep in the sukkah, but now they shouldn't be able to eat in that same sukkah, because it's not Roy L'chol Tashmishim. Pilei Ploim, the Mordechai sews himself from one line to the next, one simen to the next. What's the answer? That's mamish akash. Not stam, you know, you have a yesod of the Mordechai, you have a problem, they give answer. The Mordechai himself gives the answer, but his answer doesn't seem to hold true to his yesod. That's mamish doch pilei ploim. Yes.
I don't understand why that's such a problem. Isn't it that when you first built the sukkah, you didn't build it in a meikara? It wasn't.
You built it in a place where it's too cold. You're not going to be able to sit in the sukkah. You're not being able to sleep in the sukkah.
Or what if you build it and it was 60 degrees and then two nights later it was 30 degrees?
Okay, but if you knew from the beginning that it's going to be 30 degrees the next day, even if you didn't know, you built it in a place where... I mean, that's not the case, right? It's not. They weren't in climates where it was 60 degrees one day and 30 degrees another. It was freezing in Europe. Right? It was freezing cold. It may have even snowed before since. I don't know. But it was pretty cold then. Yeah, Russia. Russia was pretty cold. Pretty cold in the summertime in Russia, but certainly during that time.
We're talking about how cold it is, and there's nowhere else to build a sukkah. And
what do you say?
You have to build a sukkah.
You have to build a sukkah.
If you're saying it's too cold, then you want to move
it's,
to.
But it's not roy lechol tashmishim. It's roy for achil and shesiyah
b'nafas sheina. But that's not under your control. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Now you're going machshavadik. But you're saying well. I have to fine tune what you're saying. Okay, before we get there, yes, Simon.
I think maybe on the same line. I think it's not a kasha, but it's like
the machshava part of the halacha.
No, there's extrinsic factors, intrinsic factors. Something like I guess if there's an alternative, then you're right, then it would not be royal because you can build it in another place. If the entire avira is cold,
So comes the Mishnah Berurah. And he quotes two different opinions in the Achronim to try to explain this inyan. Right? Kasha on the Mordechai, but the Mishnah Berurah found Achronim who addressed this issue. This is a real kasha. You have to look high and low. Find whatever source you can find to answer the kasha. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Okay, let's take it back. What's he going on? Yudches. That's the original Mordechai. V'masam etchila b'makom shemitzdar ba'achilo b'shesiyo b'sheino she'iev shalasas lo echa mehem b'sukkah machmas b'zyori milistim o'ganovim. He's not Yotze b'chlal, says the Rambam, quoting from the Mordechai. So says the Mishnah Berurah, b'sheino perish b'makom d'lek atzino. A place where there's no cold. Ve'atzar hu machmas haruach chiyotzibo. The problem is not cold, the problem is the wind. So the problem is the wind, and you have to build a sukkah in a place where you can be protected from the wind. The ilubim komas hakarim, says the Mishnah Berurah, but in the cold places, yotze yidecha vasa b'achila. There, even though you can't sleep in the sukkah, you can be yotze b'achila. That's not a problem. That's not a problem according to the Mordechai. Even according to the Mordechai. I forgot lo yuchalishon sham. I bet you can't sleep then. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Diyev shebeinyan achem. It's impossible to do it any other way. Memela mikri sham ken todur. That's called ken todur. That's point number one. Who's that from? Chaf Aleph in the Shaar Tzion. That's the Prima Godim. Prima Godim says if it's yev shebeinyan achem, so then it is called ken todur. V'gam, says the Mishnah Berurah, mikri roi l'sheina, im hoi l'kar m'ksos was karoi. And also, it's roi l'sheina if you had pillows, if you had blankets. It's roi l'sheina. Who's that? Machtzis ha-shekel. The Machtzis ha-shekel is a parish on the Magen Avraham. So the Machtzis ha-shekel says that b'mkomos ha-karim, don't say that it's ain't a roi l'sheina. It is roi l'sheina. There's the potential to be roi for sheina. If you had the right blankets to protect you from the cold, then it would be fine. That's as long as there's the potential, that's called roi l'sheina. That's the Machtzis ha-shekel. And the Prima Godim says, if it's Iyev Shebinyan Acher, then it's called Ken Toduru. What's he saying? So according to the Machtzis ha-shekel, we get it, right? Machtzis ha-shekel basically is saying that we look at the potential. We look at the potential. In the case of Ganovim, the Mordechai must have been assuming that there's no way to protect from the Ganovim. Right? There is no potential. The place where you're building the sukkah, there's no way to protect from the Ganovim. No way to protect from the Ganovim. What are you going to do? Are you going to hire an armed guard? Maybe there were no guards there. So what exactly are you going to do? There's no potential to protect. But when you talk about the cold, there is a potential to protect from the cold. If you had the karmic sasas, so then you'd be able to protect. So even though you might not even have the karmic sasas before, but there is a mechanism to be able to protect. So since there is a mechanism to make it roi l'sheina, that's called roi l'sheina, because there's nothing intrinsically wrong about the sukkah. Nothing intrinsically wrong about the sukkah, because there's the potential to make it royal l'shamim. But apparently with the ganovim, the Mordechai is assuming that there is no potential to protect from the ganovim. So that's why it's not royal l'shamim. And if it's not royal l'shamim, it's not royal l'chol tashmish, and therefore you're not going to be yotzi. That's the machzah shekel. And the Prima Godim says differently. He says it's eif she'be'inyan achar. What's he saying? The Aruch HaShulchan explains that what the Prima Godim has in mind is that avada, a person is going to build a sukkah in the best possible place. He's going to try to build a sukkah in a place where the sukkah will be royal l'chol tashmishim. A person who builds its home is going to build the home in a place where it's royal l'chol tashmishim. He doesn't want to build two homes. That's not normal. Normally, a person will build a home where it's roi for achila and shesia, it's roi for shein, it's roi for everything. But let's say he can't find such a place. Let's say the place where he wants to build his home for achila and shesia, it's not shaykh to sleep there. But he prefers to eat here. There's no way, right? There's no way for him to protect from one of the elements, right? There's no way for him to build a home that's roi l'shein. It's difficult, meaning there's no way to build a home that in a place where it's not cold. Right? He doesn't have the heating. It's impossible for him to build a home that protects from the cold. What, so he's not going to build a home for Achil and Shasiya? He'll build a home that at least he'll be able to use in one of the ways. If he can build a home in somewhere where it'll be Roy L'chol Tashmishim, he'll do that. He doesn't want to build two different homes, one for Achil and Shasiya and the other for Shein. No one's going to do that. But let's say he can't. He can't find a place where it'll be Roy L'chol Tashmishim. What, so he won't build a home at all? He at least wants to have a home that's for Achil and Shasiya. So even though he can't protect from the elements completely, he can't protect from the cold, that's not going to prevent him from building his bias. He'll build his bias and whatever, you know, he'll have some kind of privacy, at least for Achil and Shasiya. So the same is with the sukkah. Teishu kentadur means that if you can protect from all the elements, if you have a way to do that, if it's efshe b'inyan acher, so then it's not kentadur to build a structure that's only going to be roi for one tashmish and not for the other. But if it's efshe b'inyan acher, there's no way to protect from the cold. You're in a circumstance where it's just pashut impossible to protect from the cold. If it's impossible to protect from the cold, then it's kentadur to build a sukkah that's not roi l'chol tashmish. The whole vart of the Mordechai is if it's efshe b'inyan acher, you can somehow build the sukkah in a different way. Let's say the Mordechai is talking about a case where you built the sukkah in front of your house. You could build the sukkah in a different way. You could build it in the backyard where it's more protected. You could build it on the roof where it's more protected. You could build it in a way where you won't be misyari from the ganavim. So Zokta Mordechai, in such a case, if you built the sukkah in a way where you're misyari from the ganavim, but it's efshe b'inyan acher, so then you're not going to be yotze, because that's not kentaduru. A person would like to build his home in a place where it's Roy L'chol Tashmishim. Why should it not be Roy L'chol Tashmishim? But if it's Eif Shebe'inyan Acher, if it's impossible, you can't avoid the cold. Build the sukkah in your front yard, in your backyard, on your roof. It's outside. You can't avoid the cold. So if you can't avoid the cold, then Itaka is Ke'en Taduru to build this sukkah, even in a mokum that's cold. Because at least it'll be Roy for one Tashmish. That could explain... that could reconcile the steer and the Mordechai. The Mordechai is talking about building the sukkah in a place where there are ganavim, and either the Mordechai is saying that there's no potential to avoid the situation, b'chlal, as opposed to the Karim where there is the potential to have the blankets, or the Mordechai is talking about a situation where you built a sukkah where you're misyari from ganavim, but it's efshe b'inyan acher. You could build it in a different place where you can avoid the problem. But by cold, it's Eif Shebe'inyan Acher, it's impossible to avoid the problem. So that's why, even though by the case of the cold, it's not Roy L'chol Tashmishim, that doesn't pass the whole sukkah. Because it is Ke'en Taduru, because if you can't avoid it at all, then a person would build their home in that mokom anyway. Josh.
Isn't this the total opposite of the previous sheet of the other sheet of Mishapura saying that ganavim can't be avoided and the cold could be avoided with current necessities?
It's not exactly the opposite. There's a nuance of difference. The sheet of the matzah shekel is that if there is some kind of way, there is a potential, right? There is a potential to somehow avoid the problem. So then the problem is not intrinsic to the sukkah, right? Even if in your context, right, with everything that you have. It's Eif Shebe'inyan Acher. But there is a potential, right? The case over there is that the guy doesn't have blankets. He doesn't have the blankets, so practically speaking, he's not going to be able to do anything. But there's the potential to have the blankets. Right? So if there's the potential to have the blankets, there's nothing intrinsically wrong to the sukkah. In the case of the ganavim, right, what's the situation? Mordechai must be assuming, according to that sheet, that in the case of the ganavim, there is no potential to avoid it. There's no potential to avoid it. The two answers are assuming that the metzias is different according to the Mordechai. Right? Let's say the Mordechai, case of the Mordechai is where you can't build the sukkah on your roof. Right? You know, most of us we can't build a sukkah on the roof. It's a slanted roof. It's not like the sukkahs that they had at the time of the Gemara. So you can't build a sukkah on the roof. And let's say you don't have another place that you can build a sukkah. There's no protected area. Right? So there is no potential to build it in some other way. Right? There's no potential to protect from the ganavim. If there's no potential to protect from the ganavim, so then it's not roi l'shena. As opposed to the case of the kol, where there is the potential to protect. That's according to that shita. According to the Prima Gadim, what are we saying? That the kol is a case where it's iyasher ben yinachah. There's no way to avoid it. There's no way to avoid it in the circumstance that you're in. As opposed to the ganavim, we're talking about a situation where you can, which efsher ben yinachah, but you can avoid the problem. I see what you're saying, that they almost seem like they're mirror images of each other. But the Mordechai must be talking about a different metzias according to each one of the sheikhs.
That's what they must be saying.
I guess that's what he's saying. Yes. Yeah.
Lefida Privagadon, we could then answer and say that even if someone were to live in a dangerous neighborhood, you still want to build a sukkah there because there's nowhere else to build a sukkah. So
right,
therefore, you still be able to build a sukkah there and you could eat and drink in it, and
right.
Even you can't sleep in it.
Right. What would come out is that if it's Yev Shebein Yenacher in a dangerous neighborhood, or fakert, if it's efsher to hire a god, so then either way you'd be even according to the Mordechai you'd be okay, right? And that's probably the answer. Someone asked this question yesterday. So how do we have sukkahs in areas that are dangerous? You know, some areas are not so dangerous, but I don't know. Is Washington Heights dangerous nowadays? I don't know. When I was a talmid in the yeshiva, I don't think anyone would sleep there. Someone told me that Breuer's actually has a guard. It stands guard at the sukkah so that people can sleep in the sukkah. There's a public sukkah outside the shul, and they have a guard. I don't know if he's armed, but they do have a guard outside the sukkah to enable people to sleep in front of the sukkah. So that's, he solves the problem. He's, no one's afraid. I don't know, even with a guard, I'd still be afraid. But that's the heart of the answer, that if you have the potential to have the armed guard, you won't be afraid. So then, according to the Matzah Shekel, you're fine. Or fakert, if it's efsher ben yinachah, if you assume you're so scared, there's no way to avoid the problem. So then forget about Shena. It doesn't matter. Then it's ken toduru, even if the sukkah is only going to be right for achilat and not for Shena. Yes.
Also, didn't we say in the Haggadah that when it comes to a chola, he's only considered mitzayir if he'll be saved from his tzar?
Yeah.
So I'm saying, so wouldn't that be the same thing over here? He wouldn't be, maybe the Mordechai would just say it. It's different because he's like, no matter. Like,
you're not going to be saved if you go home?
Oh, he goes inside.
Goes inside, lecha. I hope the Ganavim are not going to come inside. And you got to choose another neighborhood to live if the Ganavim are not going to come inside. Okay. So these are two answers that the Achronim give to reconcile the steer of the Mordechai. The Ramah has a very famous answer to this question. And that spawns another discussion related to the Mordechai. What does the Ramah say? Teishvu kein taduru, yeah? He says, Teishvu kein taduru means ish v'isha. A person has to be able to sleep with his wife to feel comfortable. Feel comfortable in the sukkah. But there are other people. There are other people in the home. And the wife is going to feel uncomfortable there. Says the Ramah, it's in the Tov Reish Lamed Tesiv base. Some say it's because of the cold. That's the Mordechai. The Yesh Tzar Lishem B'mekamas Akar. V'li Neris says the Ramah, Mishim the Mitzvah Sukkah Ishu Beisa. Ner Ishu Beisa, right? Sukkah is also Ishu Beisa. Ish V'ishto. Why is it Ishu Beisa, Ish V'ishto? Teishu Ken Toduru. Kederech Shuderech Kol Hashanah. U'makom shelo yuchal yishanim ishto she'en lo sukkah miyuchedah is potter. He can't be with his wife because there are other people there. It's not a private sukkah. So then it's not teshu kein toduru. So therefore they're potter. I know people who have a private sukkah. They have a private sukkah, either a sukkah off their bedroom, or they have a private sukkah, maybe the kids aren't home or whatever. So, yeah, they sleep in the sukkah. I mean, if it's warm enough, you can sleep in the sukkah, you know. It's like sleeping outside. So some people do that. If you can, then maybe you're mechuyev to do that, maybe. The Rama says, but in most circumstances, it's not shy. There's a big family, and, you know, the wife wants to sleep privately. She doesn't want to sleep outside. Maybe she even feels uncomfortable sleeping outside. It's hard for her to sleep outside. She's more sensitive to the bugs or to the heat or whatever. She wants to be inside. So if the wife can't be outside, then the husband doesn't want to be outside because teishu can't do it. It's not ish v'ishu b'yachad. Yoshua.
Does the woman have the same
chiddush
as the man?
No. The woman is p'tura from sukkah. We're going to see the Gemara. Mishnah and Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph says she's p'tura from sukkah. And in fact, the mokar is a halacha l'mosh mesina, the Gemara says. But the Gemara asks, but if mitzvah says she has man grama, if sukkah is man grama, what do I need a halacha l'mosh mesina for? Paper clay. It's man grama, it's p'turas. The Gemara has two different answers. One of the answers is that since we know Basukas Teshvu, Shivas Yamim, Teshvu Kentaduru, so I would think maybe a woman is chayeves b'sukkah because without her being in the sukkah, then the husband is not going to be yotzei his chiyuv. So I would think that the woman is chayev in sukkah. Right? I think she has a chiyuv in sukkah, so that it'll be Kentaduru, she'll be with the husband. Kamash malon, halach l'mash v'sina, that she's p'turah. That's a different vart. Right there, the Gemara is saying, I'd have a havmir, the woman is chayeves midin teshu kentadur. That's not what we're saying over here. Even though lemaisa, the woman is p'tura from the sukkah, the woman taka is p'tura from the sukkah. What's coming out is punkt fakert, that the man might be potter from sitting in the sukkah, from doing certain things in the sukkah, since it's not going to be kentadur, the woman is taka not chayeves, halach l'mash misina, she's p'tura from the sukkah, so since she's not chayeves, and she might not want to be there to sleep, so then the man is going to be p'tura from sleeping in the sukkah. V'nafochu, so to speak, right? V'nafochu, not that the woman should be chayeves because of the tashu kentadur, but once she's p'tura, if she doesn't want to be there, then the man is going to be potter because it's not kentadur. So, Frekta Magen Avram, what did the Ramah solve? What problem did the Ramah solve? He says it's not Ken Toduru, so therefore, they don't have to sleep there. But if it's not Ken Toduru for sleeping, so then how can they be Yotze Vachilu Shasiyah? It's the same Kasha. It's always coming back to haunt us. The same Kasha keeps on coming back to haunt us. We know the Ramah quoted the Mordechai. Right, the Ramah, not in Siv Beis, but in not in Tafresh Lam Tesiv Beis, in Tafresh Mem Siv Dala, the Ramah quoted the Mordechai that if the sukkah is not Roy L'chol Tashmishim, then it's possible for all Tashmishim. What's the Ramah talking about? How did he solve the problem? Because it's not Ken Toduru, so therefore what? So therefore they don't have to sleep in the sukkah. But if they can't sleep in the sukkah, then they can't eat in the sukkah either. Magen Avram's cash. So Zog the Magen Avram. No. It's really roi for Shana. The sukkah is roi for Shana. The man can sleep there by himself. He can sleep there by himself. It's called a dira. It's just he's mitstar from sleeping in the sukkah because his wife is not there. Does someone have the packet? I have it with me. I'm going to have romances. First, the kashin. Kamakom tzarachin da'im asa asuk. Kamakom sheni yachal lishan lo yatsa. Kamosha kosev. Kamim tafresh mem zivdal. Tzarach lomad mikamakom kem sheyachal lishan sham levado asuk aksher. Is it roy for Shana? Yeah, he can sit. He can sleep there by himself. Davidir. Mikamakom hu potter de mikri mitzdar. He's potter because he's mitzdar because his wife is not there. It's not a din that if it's not roy for ish v'isha biyachad, then it's not called a mokom. It's roi for Shana. It's not called a dira. No, it's called a dira. It's roi for Shana. He can sleep there by himself, but he's mitzvah since his wife is not there. What's the mother ever I'm saying? What kind of an idea is that? Tachlis, is it roi for Shana? No, it's not roi for Shana because of mitzvah. So what did you accomplish? The case of the Mordechai is that he's mitzvah from the Ganovim can't sleep there. So now he's mitzvah because his wife can't sleep there. Can't sleep there with him. What's the lechor? What the Magen Avraham means is that if it's roi for Shaina, for the individual by himself, so then the tsar is not machmas hasukkah. The tsar is not intrinsic to the sukkah. The sukkah is not what's producing the tsar. The tsar is a dovret study. The tsar is external to the sukkah. It's that his wife can't be there. Or maybe his wife can be there, but other people are there. Right? His wife doesn't want to be there because there are other people there. That's totally extraneous to the sukkah. That doesn't define the sukkah as ein roi l'shein. That's what the Magen Avraham is saying. But if the person is mitzdar because of zivuvim, the bugs, or because of the heat, or because of the cold, or because of the smell, so that those things are intrinsic to the sukkah. Ganovim, that means that you built the sukkah in a context where the sukkah is never roi for shame. It's not because the sukkah really is roi, but my wife can't be here. There's something missing from the sukkah. Sukkah is totally roi in its context. It's just there's something missing from the sukkah. Or there are too many people here. The sukkah is really roi. It's just there's something extraneous that there's a problem. So if it's only an extraneous problem, then that's called roi l'shena. That would not be an issue of the sukkah that's in a roi l'chol tashmish. That's the chor what the Magen Avraham means. That he can sleep there by himself, so there's nothing intrinsically wrong for the sukkah. The tsar is extraneous to the sukkah. So if it's extraneous to the sukkah, that's not going to make it ein roi l'chol tashmish. This yesod can help answer one final question. Shari Tshuva quotes a raya to the Chacham Tzvi. This is the final point. The nail in the coffin. Right? The Shari Tshuva in Simen Tav Reish Lamed Tes Sivkot Aleph quotes a raya to the Chacham Tzvi. From what? Sukkah Shel Shutfin. Rav Haigon writes in a tshuva that what's the din? A sukkah shel shutfin, where they don't have enough room, they made a sukkah ktana. Where they can't all fit. It's a sukkah that's owned by shutfin, but it's a sukkah ktana where they can't all fit bevasachas. So what should they do? So Rav Haigon answered, let them eat separately. They don't have to eat together. Right, each one will have a meal for half an hour, whatever, and they'll both be yotze with achila. Ay, sheina, they can't sleep in the sukkah. You can't say what? Let one sleep half the night, and then he'll wake up, and the other one will. They're probably not going to wake up in the middle of the night. So after Rav Haigon, each one will sleep a different night. When it comes to achila, they can both eat there each night because they'll eat at different times. Each family will eat at different times. The Fishane, it's impossible to say that they'll both sleep in the sukkah, they'll just split the night. Right? So rather, they'll sleep there on different nights. One will sleep there Belaila Achas, and the other one will sleep there in a different light, the next light. So says the Shari Tshuva, just 1 second. That means the sukkah is not roi l'chol tashmishim each night. The sukkah is roi for achila every night for the shutfim, but it's not roi for shena for the shutfim. Because this night, Shutuf A is going to sleep there. The next night, Shutuf B is going to sleep there. So isn't this a problem? There's a sukkah. There's no problem of sukkah shal shutfim, right? Whether we say that the sukkah has to be shalcha or not shalcha, shal shutfim perhaps is shalcha. We'll talk about it. We'll get there maybe. It's a long place. Okay, it's a nice sukkah. So it's a good sukkah, but the problem is it royal chol tashmishim or not? So if the sukkah is big enough that they can all sleep there, they can all eat there, so great. Sukkah shel shufim is kosher, and it's roi l'chol tashmishim, so then that's great. But if the sukkah is so small, it's a sukkah ketana, it's the minimum shear. I don't know if it's vav al vav zayin al zayin, but it's too small for everyone to be eating and sleeping there at the same time. So regarding achila, they can eat at different times each night. But shena, they can't sleep at different times. So the only way to enable them to use the sukkah is that one's going to sleep there this night, the other one's going to sleep there a different night. But that's not roi l'chol tashmishim each night, because it's not roi for shena each night. Says the Shari Tshuva, this is a raya to the Chacham Tzvi. I quoted you a Chacham Tzvi and Simen Tov Reish Mem against the Mordechai. I quoted you a Chacham Tzvi. You should know the Rav Haigon's tshuva about sukkah shufim is a raya to Chacham Tzvi. It's a sheer chloe that the Shari Tshuva is putting together for us. What's the answer? The Mordechai has to answer the Raya of the Shari Tshuva. Right? The Rav Haigon seems to sound like the Chacham. See, that came before the Mordechai. How can the Mordechai argue with the Rav Haigon? What's the answer? So according to the Magen Avraham, the answer is Poshut. Is this Sukkah Roy for Shana? Of course it is. It's Roy for Shana. Each one can sleep in the Sukkah. The problem is, Shutuf A can't sleep in the Sukkah if Shutuf B is there. Shutuf B can't sleep in the Sukkah if Shutuf A is there. It's not that it's not Roy for Shana. Habad, it's Roy for Shana for each and every person. It's Roy for Shana for each and every person. It's just the problem is, there's someone in the Sukkah. Someone in the Sukkah, but it's not that the Sukkah is intrinsically Eina Roy L'Shena. It's Re'uya Mitzad Atzma for Shena. The problem is, it's a Dovert study, there's some external problem that's preventing him from sleeping in the Sukkah. Not something intrinsic to the Sukkah. Tomorrow that problem is not there because we made a deal that you're not going to be in the Sukkah. It's nothing intrinsic to the Sukkah. There's nothing intrinsic to the Sukkah. We wouldn't call that Eina Roy L'Chol Tashmishi. Just like the Mordechai was saying that the fact that a person's wife can't sleep in the Sukkah doesn't make it Eino Roy L'Chol Tashmishim. It pockets him from having to sleep in the Sukkah. It doesn't make it Eino Roy L'Chol Tashmishim. So too, the fact that the Shutuf can't sleep there, if his co-Shutuf is there, that's not Eino Roy L'Chol Tashmishim. Because there's no intrinsic chisaron in the Sukkah. It's a davart study. It's a secondary, external problem to the Sukkah. That doesn't make it Eino Roy L'Chol Tashmishim. Even if it'll pater him from sleeping in the Sukkah when the Shutuf is actually there. Jacob?
Are we saying the Sukkah is big enough to fit them all in?
It's not big enough to fit them all simultaneously, but because it's ro'ui for each one, so the only reason why he can't sleep there is because there's someone there already.
That's still bizarre in the size of the Sukkah.
The Sukkah is big enough for me to sleep there. If you're not there, I can't sleep there. In fact, if the second Shutuf says, you know what, I don't want to sleep in the Sukkah, so then it's Roy for the other Shutuf, both nights of Sukkah, all the nights of Sukkah. Let's say the second Shutuf got sick and he's not going to sleep in the Sukkah. So then it is Roy for the first one. So can you really say it's not Roy? It really is Roy for him. The problem is, the Shutuf is there. The other Shutuf is there. That's what makes it in a Roy. That's external. That's secondary. If it's only a Dovet study that's goreim to make it in a Roy, that's not called Eino Roy L'Chol Tashmishim. Yes?
But then why can't you say that he can sort of time the meal tonight, like 18-200 seconds?
You could. That would be great. The rule is, you're supposed to sleep the whole night in the Sukkah.
But then it could be Roy L'Shina for both.
I'm sorry? No, they could be Yotze for both, but there is a Chiyuv to sleep the entire night, so you're still not solving the problem. They're not going to be Yotze, they're Chiyuv completely. It's not Roy to sleep there the whole night, and the Chiyuv is to sleep there the whole night, not just part of the night, not just be Yotzi a little bit. Okay? Yeah.
I could be misremembering, but he says Tavo Alehem Bracha, right? If they sleep half the night, half the night. The Shari Tshuva.
V'im Chaviv Alehem HaMitzah Tavo Alehem Bracha Im Zeh Yoshi Mitzah Salah Im Zeh Mitzah.
But what problem does that solve? It's not Roy for Shina for the whole night.
Right. No, because... No, so according to the Shari Tshuva, this is a right to the Chacham Tzidin, it doesn't have to be Roy for Shana for the whole night. According to the way we're saying, right, it is Roy for Shana if one Shutuf would sleep there. So it's not a problem, Ben Lefi the Mordechai, Ben Lefi the Chacham Tzvi. He's just saying that Tavo Alehem Bracha, because then even though they can't be Yotze the Chiyav completely, at least they'll have a Kiyum Mitzvah. Each one will have a part in Shana B'Sukkah. Yes?
Could be that once it's Sukkah that's made for
partners,
then it is considered a lack in the Sukkah because it's not big enough for all
the
partners.
Sukkah that's made for partners, what does that mean?
I don't know, it says Sukkah
Shutfa. Sukkah Shutfa means it's owned by Shutfa. So this has a new din because it's a Sukkah Shal Shutfa.
I mean, but it is, since it's not.
Let's say both Shutfa happen to be sick. So now I can't sleep there because I'm not one of the Shutfa? I can sleep there. A sukkah shu'ul, we pass, and a sukkah shu'ul is okay. It doesn't have to be lochem. Okay? Yeah.
Just to clarify, so a case where the shutuf is inside the sukkah is equal to when your wife is outside the sukkah. That's the same thing.
Right. Right, because there's only a davet study that's preventing the person from sleeping there. That's not called Eino Roy L'Chol Tashmishim. It's Roy even for Shaina, if the secondary problem would not be here. Yes?
To clarify, someone who's asleep, is he in Kaim or Kabul Mitzvah or Sukkah? Can I just like pick up the guy when he's sleeping?
They tell a story. They tell a humorous story that in one of the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, I think in Panovich maybe, there wasn't enough room in the sukkah. I mean, it's a big yeshiva. You know, so there wasn't enough room in the sukkah. So what they did was someone went to sleep in the sukkah, and then the chevra pulled out his bed and they put someone else in the sukkah. I mean, someone else went into the sukkah. Because they said he's part of the kol mitzvahs. The whole mitzvah is to go to sleep in the sukkah, not to sleep in the sukkah. Because when you're sleeping, you're not chayv in mitzvah. That's like a lom de shavar.
So these are
a little too much. First of all, I'm not sure if it's true. And secondly, don't pull your friend out of the sukkah. That's not. And besides, how could they pulled out his bed? He didn't wake up. Such a deep sleeper.
If you can, then Israel, you just desire to move him out of the sukkah.
I'm not sure if this story is true. It's one of those apocryphal stories that they tell over, you know, they tell over on sukkahs, you know, just to pass the time. To crack a joke in the middle of the meal. I don't know if this really happened. But I heard this story.
Interesting. I've heard the story.
Oh, you have? Okay. Maybe it's true.
Yeah.
Let's go back to it. Good. Good. Okay, so now we get to the third chelik of the Mishnah. Shluchim mitzvah p'tur min ha'sukkah, cholim shem shem p'tur min ha'sukkah, ochlim v'shosin arai chutz l'sukkah. Right, the third part of the Mishnah says that you have to be ochel v'shosin b'kvios l'sukkah, but nachilas arai is permissible outside the sukkah. So the Gemara Chavav says, kam achilas arai, omer v'yosef, tarti otlas bei. What's nachilas arai? Zok. Rav Yosef, Tarti Otlas Bei, two or three eggs worth. Amalei Abaye, Vazimnin Sagi and Sagi Leila Inish Bahochi, Dablis Vidas Keva, Frekt Abaye. Sometimes that's enough for people. They don't need more than two or three eggs worth. So how can you call that an Achilas Arai? That's an Achilas Keva, because sometimes for rove people, he's not just talking about like, you know, a person Ba'alma. Saying for rove people, sometimes it's enough. Achilas arai is not tarti otlas bei, but rather it's k'detan bar be'rav ayil lekala. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Tarti otlas. Rav Yosef says tarti otlas bei. Rashi doesn't have the gear of tarti otlas bei. Tarti otlas two or three. What does that mean? Two or three. Two or three. What? Shtayim o shalosh ba'amim yitem lesoch piv. Two or three times he'll put into his mouth. Morselis. So Tosis also has this morsel belaz, a morsel. Right? A morsel, a little bit. Two or three times that you'll put into your mouth. That's what Rashi says. The Tosis says, Tarti otlas or Tarti otlas bay, whatever your girsa is, it's stuff bezel bezach. It's the same thing. It means two or three times that you'll put into your mouth. And that's Tarti otlas bay. Because as we know, the bay sablia is machzika kebeya. Right, the Beis Aliyah can hold a kibetza. So tarti otlas means not just a little bit. You think a morsel, do what, just a little taste? No, it means filling up your mouth. So tarti otlas, the Rashi is saying, that's tarti otlas bei. As Tosis says, pirish bekodesh shtayim osholosh ba'amim itim osof piv morsel belaz. V'yesh svarim shekosi bem tarti otlas bei v'akol echad. It's all the same, says Tosis. Tarti otlas bei. Yosef's shita is, achilas arai is tarti otlas bei. How does he know Tarti Otlas Bei? Hakol Echad Kedemuchach Lekaman Gabi Lema Tevituv to the Rav Yosef Va'abaye B'Shir Beis Abliya Kebeya. Well, what's he referring to? Gemara is he referring to? So the Mishnah on Chavav Amibayis continues the discussion of Chavhen Maisa Ve'vilo L'Rabbi Yochanan Zaka L'Temesetav Shel U'L'Rabbi Gamliel Shnei Kosavos V'Dli Shalmayim V'Amur Helam L'Sukkah. There were different chachamim. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai and Rabbi Gamliel, they were machmir to eat in the sukkah, even litom es hatavshil or shnei kosavos v'dli shamayim. Reb Tzadok was not so machmir. They gave him ochel pachos mikebeitza, a food less than a kebeitza, netol b'mapa. That he didn't wash for that. Achlo chut the sukkah, also didn't go in the sukkah. V'labirech achrav, and he didn't say birchas hamazon. So he took a stand on all these three halachas. But you don't have to wash on less than a kibetza. You can eat it outside the sukkah, and you don't have to say birchas hamazon either. So in fact, the Gemara, my solista, But what we said, Ochlam Shosin Araichut Basukah, you can eat an achilas aray outside the sukkah, and yet Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, Rabbi Gamliel, they only eat inside the sukkah. So how can you say Maisa? Maisa sounds like it's a proof, and here it's a contradiction. Dr. Gemara, no, Taka is different. Chasuri Mechsar Vachit, I'm something missing. Bola Hachmer Al Atzmo, Machmer Velespe Mishum Yuhara. But the Mishnah is telling us on Chavzayin and Chavav and Mabez is that if you want to be Machmer on yourself, it's not Yuhara, it's not showing off, it's not Gaiva. Umay Sanami. Hi, Bevilo, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Lita Mesatav Shil, Rabbi Gamliel, Shnei Kosov, Bli Shamayim, Vamu Helam Lusuka. In Bola Hachmer Al Atzmo, Machmer. And Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Rabbi Gamliel, Taka, they were Machmer. Tzadok was not machmer on himself. So that's the hemshich, that the Mishnah says achilas arai is mutar chutz the sukkah, but if you want to be machmer on yourself, it's not yuara. And there are different nihugim, different maisim. Some of the tanoim were machmer on themselves, some of the tanoim were not machmer on themselves. So comes the Gemara, the upshot of the Gemara, the afchaz zayin and aleph is what? The tzadok took the ochel pachos mi kebeitza, the food less than the kebeitza, and he ate it outside the sukkah. Ha kebeitza boi sukkah. Sounds like he ate pachos mi kebeitza outside the sukkah. But kebeitza, he did eat in the sukkah. So lemetevi tufte de Rav Yosef ve Abaye. Let's say there's a kasha against Rav Yosef and Abaye. Why? What's the kasha? Rav Yosef says, achila sarai is tarati ot lasbe. Abaye says, kidetoim. Barbe Rava Ayelakala. What's Kiddetoyim Barbe Rava Ayelakala? Said Rashi on Chava. Babok Kesholchan Lebeisam Edrish V'Doyk Shemiyim Shuchah Shmuas V'Toyim Elopir V'Shose. A person's afraid, the Talmud Chacham, the younger man is afraid that the Shiurim are going to go too long. He's not going to be able to eat. He's going to get hungry. So he's Toyim Melopiv. Again, Melopiv. Rav Yosef says Tati Oplas Melopiv, and Abaya says one time Melopiv. So what's a malopiv? The Gemara thinks Rav Tzadok was toim, was ochel pachos mi kebeitza outside the sukkah. But it sounds like kebeitza he requires sukkah. That's not achilas keva. Rav Yosef and Abaye held what? They held that achilas arai is even malopiv, or two or three times malopiv. What's malopiv? So as Rashi explains, the beis habliya, we assume beis habliya is machzik a kebeitza. Abaye holds achilas arai is k'detayim barbe rava v'ayel lakala. That means a kibetza. Reb Tzadok felt that achilas arai is less than a kibetza, but a kibetza is an achilas keva. Abaye assumes that even kibetza is an achilas arai, right? Because he says k'detayim barbe rava v'ayel lakala. So that's k'melopiv, melopiv, beis ablia. That should be a kibetza. Says the Gemara, no, Reb Tzadok was not taking a stand on the achil and the sukkah. Dilma pachos mi kibetza netila ubracha lo boi, ya kibetza boi netila ubracha. No, the chilik between kibetza as opposed to pachos mi kibetza, that's referring to netila and bracha. But sukkah, even a kibetza he would eat outside the sukkah. Right? Achila sarai might even be kibetza. But netila? On a kibetza, you'll need netila. Birchas hamazon, on a kibetza, you'll need birchas hamazon. So that's the contrast. The contrast, not for all three of the halachas. For sukkah, Rav Tzadok may have felt that even if they brought him a kibetza, he'd eat that outside the sukkah. It's an achilas arai that he can eat outside the sukkah. The chiddush of the Gemara is that if it was pachos mikibetza, so then he didn't wash. He took it at the mappa. He didn't bench afterwards. But if it would be a kibetza, then he would have washed and he would have benched. But the chiluk between pachos mikibetza and kibetza doesn't relate to sukkah, because he would agree that achilas arai is even a kibetza, so he wouldn't eat in the sukkah until it was a little bit more than a kibetza. Okay. So that's what Taisus says, that there's a raya from the Gemara later on that achilas arai is up to and including a kibetza. So there's a machlokas in the Gemara whether achilas sarai that's mutar outside the sukkah is tatiot lasbei two or three bein, and we paskin like Abaye that it's k'detoyim barbe rava ayel lekala, that's a kibetza kim lo piv kibetza. One kibbutz. What's the svar? Why is an achilas arai mutter outside the sukkah? Says the Ran. On the Mishnah, Ochel Meshosin Arai Chutz the Sukkah, Mufarish B'Gemara, the Achilas Arai Hanukkah, the Toyin Bar Be'rav, Aya Lekala, the Hanukkah Beitz. The Kol Kai Gavna Lo Chashiva Velo Havya Ke'en Tadu. Says the Ran, you know why Achilas Arai is mutter outside the Sukkah? Because it's not Chashiva, the Achilas is not an Achilas Shal Chashivas, and it's not Ke'en Tadu. What is the Ran talking about? It's not an achila shel chashivas, therefore it's not ke'en taduru to eat an achila sarai inside the sukkah. I can't eat an achila sarai inside the sukkah. It's not ke'en taduru. No, he means if it's not an achila shel chashivas, why? Not an achila shel chashivas, there's no chiyuv to eat that inside the sukkah. A person is makbet to eat an achilas keva inside his home. Do people not eat snacks outside their home? Malid nachilas aray outside the home. Malid a snack outside the home. So it's ke'en taduru to eat the achilas aray outside the home, because people eat snacks outside the home. That's what the Ran is saying. It's not an achilas shel chashivas v'lo havya ke'en taduru, meaning to require achilas aray inside the sukkah is not teishu ke'en taduru, because teishu ke'en taduru would mean eating the sukkah whatever you eat at home. People only are makbet eat achilas keva at home. Achilas aray, they do eat outside the home. So it's ke'en taduru to allow someone to eat an achilas aray outside the home. And that's what the Ritva says. He says a little bit of a different lashon than around the Chora. The Ritva and the Ran are saying the same thing. They're just mashlim each other. What does the Ritva say? Perush shekein adam ochel achilas arai chutz lebeisa. Why can you eat achilas arai outside the sukkah? Because it's normal to eat achilas arai outside the home. He doesn't say ken tadur. He doesn't mention achilas shel chashivas ken tadur. But he's alluding to the Ran. Because it's not an achilas shel chashivas, a person is not makbet to eat that dafka in his home. So that's why you can eat the achilas arai outside the sukkah. Outside the sukkah. Just like he'll eat it outside his home, it's ke'en taduru to eat it outside the sukkah. And the shir is kibetza, right? Abaye holds kedetoyim by be'rav ayel akala. The shir is a kibetza. As we see from the Gemara and the Chav Zayin. And this is the way the Shulchan Aruch paskens. Ochel meshosin yishenim besukkah kol zayin bein bayom bein balayla. This is Shulchan Aruch and Simetov Resh Lametesev Beis. Apo mutter lechol achilas arai chutz lesukkah. Achilas arai is mutter outside the sukkah. Vekam achilas arai kibetza mipas. Kibetza mipas. Two very important words. He gives a shir and he tells you the item that he's talking about. Kibetza mipas. Pas. Sets off bells in your mind, right? You're saying to yourself, kibetza mipas. Who said pas? The Gemara didn't say pas. Pas was the staple that they ate. But we have many other types of foods, right? We have basar gvina, dvarim hamalaftim es hapas. We have chameshes min yadagon, pas haba bekisnin. We have peiris. Yeah, but we have a lot of different things besides pas. It's interesting. Halodover, who the Shulchan Aruch begins, kibetz of pas. That's it, right? Achilas arai is a kibetz of pas. As opposed to a little bit more than a kibetz of pas, kibetz of plus of pas, that's achilas keva, and that has to be in the sukkah. That's the Shulchan Aruch. Comes the Rambam and throws a monkey wrench into the sukkah. Rambam has a very interesting lashon over here. The Shulchan Aruch, you get the impression that there's an objective shir. Achilas arai is kibetz pas. That's what it is. Based on the Gemara. It's not really the Shulchan Aruch's problem. It's really a deal from the Gemara. The Rambam starts to shake it up a little bit. The Rambam in Ilchas Sukkah, Perek Vav, Halacha Vav. Ochlim v'shosim v'yishenim v'sukkah kol shiva v'yam 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 Kol Shiva. Elam Kain Ochal Achilas Arai Kibetza Opochos O Yesemaat. If you eat Achilas Arai Kibetza Opochos O Yesemaat, then that's permissible outside the Sukkah. But you eat a Suda, that you have to eat in the Sukkah. So what's interesting about the Rambam? Two things. First of all, what's the Rambam shir? What's an achilas sarai according to the Rambam? Kibetza? No, he seems to be saying kibetza. Oh yes, a ma'at. Right, according to the Tosfos, according to the Shulchan Aruch, the impression you get is that kibetza, oh yes, a ma'at, right, a little bit more than a kibetza, is already achilas keva. The Rambam seems to be saying that a little bit more than a kibetza is still an achilas arai. Achilas keva is kibetza plus a little bit more than just a little. Right? It's two little bits more than a kibetza, according to the Rambam. Right? That's not the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that an achilas arai is kibetza. Kibetza plus is already achilas keva. The Rambam seems to say achilas keva is kibetza plus plus. That's the Bir Aloch's diuk from the Rambam on that Shulchan Aruch. Right, kibetz of mipas, aval yosem ma'at choshev keva. That's kedas Rashi, Tosis, Rosh, Ran, a whole litany of shittas. Kedatoyim bar beirav, ayelakala is kashir kibetz. Beis abli is machzik only a kibetz, but not the Rambam. Bir Alocha says the Rambam seems to say that achilas keva is more than kibetz plus. It's kibetz plus plus. If it's only mad yosem, then kibetz. That's still an achilas arai. That's point number one in the Rambam. But what's even more noteworthy about the Rambam? The Rambam's not clear about the shir at all. He says that an achilas sarai is kibetza, a little bit more, a little bit less. A little bit more, a little bit less. What is it? Is it more or is it less? It's mud in the Rambam. Right? The shir achilas sarai is kibetza o pachos o yes ma'at. What kind of a strange notion is that? So, the emphasis is, if you look at the Rambam in Perash HaMishnayis, he fleshes it out a little bit. The Rambam right here in Perash HaMishnayis explains himself in the Yag. He doesn't make reference to the Yag, but he says something that gives us an insight to understand the Rambam in the Yag HaZaka. What does Achilas Arai mean, says the Rambam? Achilas Arai, hu sheyochal adam shir muad, lo yachshav olav lesuda, avlo ochlo litchos tavoso ad sheyigmar sudoso achakach. What's an Achilas Arai, according to the Rambam? He doesn't give a shir. He says, Achilas Arai is a sheer mu'at, that the person's not eating b'torah suda, he's eating it to be docha his taivas achila. The person's hungry, but he's not ready to eat. He's not going to have a suda right now. He's not going to have an achilas keva. But he's hungry, so what's he going to do? So to be docha his taivas achila, to be docha his hunger, he eats Achilas Arai. He eats some kind of a snack. Yeah, people do this, right? They're not going to have a big meal for breakfast. They just have, you know, they have like a granola bar. Is a granola bar breakfast? That's a suda? It's breakfast, but that doesn't mean that breakfast is a suda. It means that basically you're just having a little bit to eat. Having a little bit to eat so that you don't be so that you're not hungry in Seder. You can concentrate properly. That's not a suda. It's up to Rambam. It's achilas arai. Because a person is not eating that b'torah suda, not l'shem suda. He's eating it to be docha his taivas achila. The impression you get from the Rambam is that the Shir Achilas Arai is really subjective. It's not kibetza. It's not a standard Shir. It's not an objective Shir. It's really subjective because it depends on the gavra. Depends on the individual. He's eating it to be doch, his taivas achila. He's not eating it b'tarah suda. Where did the Rambam get such a thing from? Yeah. Exactly. Hiva. The Gemara sounds like that. It's not the Rambam's problem. He's looking at the Gemara. Why? What's the lashon of the Gemara? Achilas Arai is what? Kibetza, right? No, that's not what the Gemara says. The maskana is kidutoyim bar beirav v'ayel lekala. It's the amount that a person will taste before he goes to the Beis Medrash. So Rashi blinded us and said, oh, it's the amount that he puts into his mouth. So that got us thinking, oh, it's a function of Beis Abliya. Beis Abliya is machzik kibetza. That's what Abai had in mind. The Rambam says, vushteit. He never said that. Rav Yosef said Tarati Otlas, and maybe even the Gir says Tarati Otlas Bey. So Rav Yosef mentioned a kibetza. Abai never mentioned anything about kibetza. Just said it's what a person will taste before he goes into the shir, before he goes into learn. Doesn't sound like he's giving an absolute shir. Zok the Sfasemes, it's Mashra from the Gemara, that the shir is dependent on every individual. It's what a person eats, as the Sfas Emes calls it, derech mihirus. He's eating on the run. He's eating quickly. But we know such a thing, right? know, as you're walking, as you're running, you're eating, you're taking care of 55 things, you're multitasking, right? Isn't that the word? Right, you're on the cell phone, texting the other guy, eating at the same time, and trying not to trip over your shoelaces. That's life. It sounds from the Gemara, that's Achilas Harayah. Achilas Harayah is what a person eats when he's rushing, when he's hurrying. Not what he eats there of Kriyas. It's a subjective concept. Maybe that's where the Rambam got it from. The Rambam in Perashat Mishnah says, Achilas Harayah is what a person eats to be Dochis Taivas Achila, not what he eats the Torah's Asuda, to eat as an Achilas Keva. It's up to Sefer Avodas David. According to the Rambam, what should emerge is, let's say a person eats a little bit, and he's satisfied. Let's say someone is a chola, he doesn't have an appetite. Or someone is a zokei, very often older people, they don't have as big an appetite as younger people. So they can eat a small amount, maybe even just a kibetza. And they feel totally satisfied. According to the Rambam, they chayav to eat that kibetza of pas inside the sukkah. And they'd be chayav to make a leisha basukkah on that. Because according to the Rambam, it's not an absolute shiur, it's not an objective shiur. It's subjective, it depends on the person. Depends on the person. I'm not sure if they would make a bracha, because the Shulchan Aruch doesn't paskin like this. Shulchan Aruch clearly holds that it's an objective shiur. But according to the Rambam, you get the impression it's a subjective shiur. It's a function of how a person is eating. Is he eating on the run, or is he eating for a meal? Someone who eats a kibetza of pas and is satisfied with the kibetza of pas, doesn't want to eat anymore, he feels like, I'm going to stuff myself, I don't have an appetite. According to the Rambam, you get the impression that might be an achilas keva. It might be chayev and sukkah. Again, we don't paskin like that. We assume that it's an objective shiur. But, and for most of us, it's not going to be an achilas keva. But for someone who does feel that it's an achilas keva, and he's taka saveya from such an achila, to be choshish for the Rambam, there might be room to be machmer, to try to eat that in the sukkah. To eat that in the sukkah. Not just to be machmer. You know, we'll talk about being machmer, eating basar in the sukkah, and being koveya for basar and peiris. No, kibetza pas. Right? Even eating a kibetza pas, you should eat that in the sukkah, because it could be, that's called an achilas keva for you. The person is satisfied by it, according to the Rambam, it might be called an achilas keva, because he's not eating a snack on the run. He's eating it as a meal, even though it's not the shir. There is no shir, says the Rambam. Achilas keva is whatever you're eating, b'toras kevius. Josh.
So he still goes as a shir in the sukkah. Is that just kind of like he needs to say something?
Because he's giving the shir, but by saying, O ma'at, O yoser, O pachos, O yoser ma'at, he's already saying that even though the general shir is the kibetza, but it's subject to each individual. Right? So by adding O pachos, O yoser ma'at, he's opening up the possibility that it's going to change, right? It'll
like
be...
A lot more, I'm saying, or a lot less.
Sorry?
And he's just like, it's a little bit more, a little bit less.
A little more, a little bit less. He's estimating. But he's alluding to the comment in Perasha Mishnah is that it is elastic, because it's really a function of why a person is eating, or how a person is eating. Got
it. So, I didn't do the course, but didn't... We quoted a story that we tried to ask Kash on Abayi from, I think, Sadok. He ate a little bit less. So according to the Rambam, why would that be a kasha? Wasn't that he ate a little bit less than the beitza? So, but according to the Rambam, why does that go against the bayi? Maybe the bayi is saying that a gufa.
Because the standard is a kibetza. So the Gemara is assuming this standard. But the Rambam says, even though the Gemara does mention the word kibetza, that doesn't mean that that's the real shir, because the lashon of the Gemara on Daf Chavav Amidbeis is not kibetza, it's kidetoim bar beirav. So it's interpreted as a kibetza because that's the normal. It's not the standard. There is no standard. That's the normal. So because it's the normal, you're saying, so why don't the Gemara just say Reb Tzadok ate a kibetza outside of the sukkah. I'm sorry, he ate pachos mikibetza outside the sukkah. So what are you asking? Well, pachos mikibetza, according to the Rambam, could be an achilas keva, but for most people, it's not an achilas keva. So he ate pachos mikibetza, but it sounds like a kibetza, from the lashon, it sounds like he only ate it outside the sukkah because it was pachos mikibetza. But a kibetza, he would have eaten inside the sukkah. Right? And yet, from the Amoraim, it sounds like achilas arai includes kibetza. So what's your kasha?
I thought we were saying that for the Rambam, even a drop less than a kibetza could still be achilas arai.
A drop less than a kibetz could be an achilas arai.
Yes.
could be,
right? That could even be keva. I'm saying it's all a function of the person, right? Less than a kibetza, a little bit less than a kibetza could be an achilas arai, which would mean that a kibetza would be achilas keva. Right. So, but that's not the norm. The Rambam is saying that there is no standard because it could be different. But the Gemara is assuming Reb Tzadok was following the norm. So that's the raya that the Gemara is bringing from him. Because Mestami was following the norm. It sounds like only Pachas Mekibetza he wouldn't eat outside the Sukkah, but a Kibetza he would already eat inside the Sukkah. He assumed that that's an Achilas Keva. That's against the Gemara Daf Chavav. Right? I think so, yeah.
I don't understand what you mean by the norm. If the thrust of the Gemara is that there's a Shia, then that's the question of the Gemara is assuming there's a Shia.
The Rambam so says there is no Shia. The Maskal of the Gemara is that there is no exact
right,
Shia.
The question of that Gemara assumed that, that we were talking about a Shia. So what I don't understand what you mean by the norm.
Nachamo, the Gemara is saying Reb Tzadik ate pachas mikibetza outside the sukkah. That's not the kasha. The kasha is, it sounds like if they were to have given him a kibetza, then he would eat that inside the sukkah. Is that nachilas arai or is that nachilas keva? You tell me. Kibetza. It sounds like he would have held it's an nachilas keva.
Right.
And yet the Gemara on Daf Chavav seems to assume that kibetzes and achilas arai. That's the kash of the Gemara. But Yosef certainly assumes that it's an achilas arai because he says tarti otlas. Abaye also assumes it's an achilas arai. Why? Because the standard, because the normal amount that a person puts into their mouth, a person will eat, is a kibetzes. So you're saying according to the Rambam, there is no standard at all. What's Abaye saying? Abaye is saying, it sounds like if you'd eat a kibetza, Sadek would eat a kibetza inside the sukkah. Aye, but Abaye thinks that's still achilas arai. So you're saying, no, maybe that's an achilas keva. Maybe the reason why he would eat that inside the sukkah is because he considered that an achilas keva. That's what you're asking. Maybe the reason why he would eat that inside the sukkah is because he's different. He consider it an achilas keva. I think the Rambam is saying, the Gemara is assuming, it's talking about normal people. It doesn't mean that the shear can't change based on the individual. If a person considers that significant, then maybe a kibetza will be an achilas keva also.
The
Gemara and the Chanami could have given that answer according to the Rambam, but it doesn't. Gemara could have, it gives a different answer. In the Chanami, it could have given that answer according to the Rambam. Okay.